Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, welcome to Siempre Pa'lante. Pa'lante. Siempre Pa'lante. Bienvenido, mi gente. Welcome to Siempre Pa'lante, Always Forward. I'm your host, Giraldo Luis Alvarez. Gracias for listening. In this episode, baseball is el sueño americano for our guest. His roots go back multiple generations playing the sport in Venezuela. The journey to the U.S. presented challenges, but nothing his family couldn't overcome. The bond he has with his familia keeps him moving forward no matter what. He's faced rejection, but it motivated him to keep going. He believes no means you're one step closer to a yes. No one comes close for his love of the game as he's constantly working towards greatness. Please welcome player, alumni relations liaison, Spanish media liaison, and interpreter for the Miami Marlins, Luis Durante Jr.
Vamos a empezar. Vamos a comer con manteca ahora mismo. Let's get the sazones ready and let's go. Who is Luis Durante Jr.?
Born in Venezuela. Soy venezolano de La Guaira, de la costa de Venezuela. Ahí tenemos el aeropuerto y el puerto de La Guaira. So we got that connection with the whole American side, the Caribbean, everything. So el béisbol era algo natural para todo el mundo en esa zona. En Caracas, La Guaira, los Tiburones de La Guaira. No sé si te conoce ese equipo. Criado ahí, mi papá pelotero. Mi mamá trabajando en el aeropuerto de La Guaira. De ahí para adelante, me crié en pelota. Soy ahorita parte también de un equipo de béisbol de las grandes ligas. Criado también en la parte inner city de Venezuela. Y me mudé a los Estados Unidos ya con 15, 16 años, creo.
Tell us a little bit about that, like early years of Venezuela, you growing up. Tú dijiste béisbol. ¿Cuál fue la primera vez que te enamoraste con béisbol? What's the first time you fell in love with baseball?
It was just part of life. I cannot say it was just like an exact, precise moment. Because my dad, I was always with him, and baseball was just part of the daily things to do. Oh, dad's going to the park. Okay, let's go to the park. We're going to be shagging. We're going to pick up the balls, everything like that. And I was helping. Baseball started pretty much with my grandfather, my dad's dad. He was a professional player, too, in Venezuela. Never made it to the U.S., but he played in Venezuela, and he was also an umpire. Again, pure baseball in the family. My dad, he followed his steps. He signed with the Boston Red Sox, and then he injured himself very young, like 23, I believe he was. And then he started his coaching career after that. So after that, we've been traveling a lot because minor league life is not easy. Traveling up and down. We know the East Coast very well. A lot of minor league stadiums and people can relate, I guess, whoever's in the minor leagues. My mom changing babies in a stadium bathroom and carrying stuff around and traveling long hours just to keep that family together. I'm pretty sure it was something else. Pero son cuentos que me llevaron ahorita a tener una perspectiva de lo que es el negocio. So being raised in clubhouse and knowing a lot of superstars, like recently I just texted Miguel Cabrera. It was his birthday. That's why I'm so grateful. And somehow that's why I took advantage of that connections I've been building since I was a kid. Knowing these people, mostly Venezuelan and also the Latino core. Because as always, Latino, we always stick together very much in baseball. We have these different groups, right? And then as Latinos, we always stick together and continue to like, pass over that knowledge of the game, how to play it, and how to behave in the clubhouse, those little rules that you never know. Like, I think there's more controversies now because the game is changing so much.
That's an interesting point you make, but I want to jump in to first, let's give a shout out to Abuelo for the inspiration, right? Los ancestros. We always give props to the ancestors. For your dad, your mom, especially your mom, mami, gracias. We're giving you your flowers, dándote la flor aquí, la familia, because it's shaped you. it made you who you are. Naciste con una gorrita, una pelota, un guante, un bate. Any stories you want to share that were like, wow, like this was really cool. Like you learned from him. And
I was always close with all my grandparents. Like I was always more connected, I would say, with my mom's side because I saw them more often. Por ejemplo, por el lado de mi papá, like we needed to travel, only maybe visit during the holidays and stuff like that and different dates. When I was a kid, it was just the whole thing about, oye, vamos a ser pelotero. Y vamos a ser pelotero. Y todo lo demás. The funny thing is that I kind of gave up on becoming a baseball player like around 15 or 16, which I started making cash as an umpire. Yo dije, voy a hacer cash mejor así. No fue una pasión tan loca que, porque para ser pelotero hay que amarlo como una locura. So I don't know, because baseball was part of my life. It was just so simple. I wanted to try all the different things. And that's why maybe I didn't become a baseball player. And also I couldn't catch up with the fastball. Pero mi abuelo, por parte de papá, Napoleón Dorante, ya falleció hace 2-3 años, algo así. Y yo creo que más que todo ya cuando crecí un poquito, estaba ya en mi 18, 19, que uno se podía tomar un roncito con él. Iba para su cuarto y echando cuentos de vida, saber esas cosas. Él me decía, por ejemplo, para un payá, me decía, payá tiene que oler bien, tiene que oler rico, échate un perfume. Me decía, tiene que saberse bien, saber lo que estás haciendo, tiene que ser todos esos detallitos y mi enseñanza. Y lo que siempre me repetía era como que tus mejores amigos son tu papá y tu mamá. Escucha lo que él está diciendo, o sea, tu papá y tu mamá. Los demás, la gente que mucha gente te viene, no son, a lo mejor van a querer lo mejor para ti. Tu papá y tu mamá, escúchalos, son tus mejores amigos. Porque in life, that's what happens. When you're in the good side of life, you get a lot of people around. And then when you're down, esa gente desaparece. People goes away. So he was kind of hurt with that. Something like that happened to him in life. Cuando tenía dinero, todo el mundo estaba al lado de él. Y cuando ya no, desapareció. So that was one of the messages. Así que me decía, y la mitad de mi padre, try to do always good. I think he passed that on to my dad a lot. My dad works hard every day. He's very passionate about baseball and well-organized. I consider him a great manager. He's a great manager, the way he played the game. Very aggressive on the game with speed and bunting. Very Caribbean, the way we play the game. It's just crazy. And now I'm doing what I'm doing, which is a whole different part of the game. Because no estoy en el terreno, no soy coach, no soy umpire, no soy pelotero. Yo estoy atrás, asegurándome que pelotero hagan las entrevistas bien, que no digan las cosas que no tienen que decir, o que vamos a guiarnos con Flow, que hagan eventos de foundation and that connection with the team and their HR, partnership, marketing, all that connection with the team. It's like a whole different thing. And at the end of the day, it's part of the game too.
Luis doesn't hesitate to let you know he's from La Guaira, Venezuela, and how baseball was part of everyday life in his family. He talks about the minor leagues and how his family traveled with his dad to support him. Luis touched on the Latino brotherhood in baseball, advice from his abuelito, and how he went in a different direction in his career.
And it's those things, those intangibles that the family teaches you. Nuestra cultura, our familia, instills that in us. I can relate growing up. My parents telling me, tu mejor amigo son nosotros. We're your best friends. Everybody else son de los montón. And it's not to be mean or anything, but when push comes to shove, those are the people. We're going to be here for you. Y otra cosa que me dijeron mi papá, el mejor amigo tuyo son tus padres y el billete en el bolsillo. Porque el billete te resuelve. The money you have in your pocket. Because what he was saying is that helps you resolve things and take care of things as you grow up as a man. Put food on the table, pay the bills, do different things. No one's going to hand you anything. You have to earn it. And that's something I learned from my dad. Cuando ellos vinieron aquí, yo lo digo sin pena, man. Ellos vinieron aquí de Cuba. Bro, he was washing dishes. He was a machine operator. He worked those jobs. So yeah, my mom was piecework. sewing children's clothing, sewing handbags in factories, but they did it. So when you talk about those things, it's a beautiful story. Ese es sueño americano. There's another person you mentioned and I want to learn a little bit about her influences on you, which is mommy.
Mommy, there's two things that I will say about mommy and son como su característica. Mommy is the glue. In road trips, era la primera que decía, okay, hay que ir, porque tenemos que estar con tu papá. Él le gusta que estemos en el juego. Father's Day, we have to be there. Era como que siempre eso, el esfuerzo de mantener a la familia junta. Y también algo que ella adoptó de su familia, todo logro de vida hay que celebrarlo. Birthday, you have to have something. A cake, you gotta celebrate it. Big parties. De cualquier forma, find some people to gather around and celebramos. Son dos cosas que siempre caracterizan mucho a mi mamá. Y de resto, bueno, many things. O sea, todo lo que yo sé, todo ética, good and wrong, lo aprendí directamente, of course, de mi mamá. Palabras sobran. O sea, de verdad, ¿qué le puedo decir? O sea, qué mejor que conocerlo desde siempre. Tú no hacías algo, esto es malo, esto es bueno. Esa guía lo sé de ella, porque mi papá siempre estaba en el terreno. No te voy a decir que mi papá no estaba ahí, o sea, mi papá siempre estaba ahí. Una llamada, o cuando estaba de gira, son 6 months, 7 months here. Uno tiene guía a escuela, estábamos en Venezuela. Yo creo que eso fue una de las cosas que nos llevó a mudarnos a Estados Unidos, aparte de la situación del país y que había un loco destruyendo el país allá en Venezuela y eso lo hicimos en 2006, things were getting really, really bad in Venezuela. And we moved in. I had like 2 years in Venezuela there. Like my English was almost gone. Like yo sabía bien poquito. Coming in, it was just going to ESL classes, working hard, trying to feel what is it like. School was different. It was a big school, like 5,000 people in there. I was like losing my mind. Sonaba el timbre. Yo sentía que estaba como en Disney World. Era una cuestión así, llegaba la gente. Y entonces, en Venezuela, el profesor era el que había ido a la clase. Aquí uno va a la clase. Entonces, it's different. Cada vez que sonaba, uno tenía que ir comiendo en el lunch. Uno solito así, uno miraba a la gente. Uno, oye, cada quien tiene un grupo de amigos. Y ay, ni nada. Pero eso me duró como que a few days. Porque gracias a Dios, yo me gusta hablar con la gente y escucho también. Hay gente que le gusta ser escuchada también. I make good friends and after that, eso fue ya en Western, Florida. Y wow, le llamamos también Westonzuela, a la Venezuela. Tenemos una comunidad ahí que we try to build it para sentirnos un poquito en Venezuela porque the reality is that nos robaron el país, ¿me entiendes? Llegas a este país y entonces no te sientes en ningún lado. Es como que no puedo regresar a Venezuela. Uno puede perder legalidad o los pasaportes no los pueden sacar. Y puedes ir para allá, pero tampoco es tu país porque no te consideran de aquí. Tú vienes de afuera. Queda como en el limbo. Es una sensación que a veces uno trata de olvidarla siempre, pero de vez en cuando a veces uno con la nostalgia se recuerda de eso. Y es triste. Es triste esa parte.
Did you know, sabías que? It's the first time Luis and his father are working for the Marlins organization in an official capacity at the same time. Luis Dorantes Sr. is a manager for the Florida Complex League Marlins, which is a minor league affiliate for them. For the Miami Marlins, Luis Dorantes Jr. wears multiple hats as a liaison for player-alumni relations, Spanish media, and interpreter for the team. When in Miami, check out a Marlins game and say hello to Luis. Tell him Hidalgo sent you. Now back to the show.
Going from one country, leaving everything you know, to come to another. Tell us a little bit more about that and how the family values that you've talked about helped you to make that transition. Not that it was easy, no fue fácil, but you made it. Share with us a little bit more about that.
To be honest, I was very, very lucky. I guess the whole thing about coming every summer to the U.S., being with my dad during the whole summer. That was my year, year round, okay? So, venir a Estados Unidos durante el verano, me ayudó mucho a conocer la cultura y entender cómo se maneja la cosa aquí en Estados Unidos. When I got here, I was okay. It was just that pure nostalgia and sadness of leaving everybody behind. Yo me acuerdo, yo lloré, voy a admitirlo. Yo estaba en ese avión saliendo de Venezuela y uno ve esas montañas gigantescas que hay ahí en la costa de La Guaira con Caracas y todo eso. Y yo estaba calladito así. Y yo lo que me venía en mente era como que, ¿y cuándo voy a ver a mis abuelos otra vez? ¿O cuándo voy a ver a mi tío? ¿Y o cuándo voy a ver a mi tía? ¿O mis primos también? Era como que la parte distinta, sobre todo like, at that age, 16, ¿qué soy? Soy un adolescente, soy un hombre, ¿para dónde voy? ¿Qué quiero hacer? Pero apenas llegué, me concentré en entender inglés, aprender inglés, porque yo sé que comunicándome uno puede hacer muchas cosas, pues la gente, oye, entiéndeme, eso es lo que quiero que me entienda. I work a lot with Friends, the series. I watch Friends with subtitles.
¿Qué empezaría Friends? Shout out to Friends.
Shout out to Friends.
Look, let's be real. I mean, coming to a new country, no matter how much you knew because of the Winter Ball, it's a different world because you didn't have to live here. You know, you travel here and then go back, right? Pero yo ni no lo puedo imaginar. Yo soy el americanito de la familia. I was born here. You know, and I didn't have to worry about those things. But do I know about the things in Cuba? Absolutely. You and I share that common bond because we know about those regimes that have destroyed our countries, our beautiful countries. And it's painful. It's not just the pain you're carrying, because you mentioned that earlier. But then to, on top of that, to have to leave and then to see, like you said, you're describing watching those mountains, watching the landscape, and you're like, man, I don't know when I'm going to see my country, but more importantly, when am I going to see my grandparents? And you had to flip the switch inmediatamente. You land and it's go. And you said the communication. And you said that, you know what? I'm going to learn this English. I'm going to master this because it's going to help me down the road.
Mi gente, when you get a chance, take it a step further after you listen. Help support Siempre Pa'lante by making a donation. This helps keep the lights on and, more importantly, brings you more cultural content and live events. Instead of buying that cafecito or fresh bagel, visit linktree.com/sp.alwaysforward. linktr.ee/sp.alwaysforward. Or go to the show notes for more info. Gracias. Luis talks about his journey to the U.S. and setting his sights on a career in baseball. The Trenton Thunder, a minor league baseball team in New Jersey, provided him the break he needed. He did everything, and I mean everything. Luis translated, scanned tickets, cleaned the stadium, provided field entertainment, and was even the mascot. He goes on to share the lessons he learned from his dad working multiple jobs and how this made a positive impact on him during a difficult time the family went through. He faced many challenges but kept moving forward. Opportunity knocked, and he answered. He even got a chance to umpire an MLB game. Luis earned every bit of his success, and the Marlins are definitely benefiting from his passion to keep growing with the organization.
Después de eso, it was more about getting to my career, right? So I was like pursuing something related with sports. I had to do like another extra year in community college to like get better with my English and reading. Como llegué un poquito tarde en high school. So it took me a while. I took like 4 years to get my associate. No está fácil, es caro. It's really expensive. I had my dad was pretty much the one who paid a lot of tuitions, working in Venezuela, paying tuitions. I finished my bachelor in FIU, sport management, park recreational management, which it was a mix of things because we also, in 2008, as a family, we lost a house that we bought here when we came to the U.S. based on the whole chaotic crisis that happened in that year. Y ese año, yo aprendí otra cosa importante que no me había notado, de que ya yo la tenía y que ya yo la había aprendido de mi papá. Que don't be ashamed of the job that you have. Having a job is a blessing, ¿entiendes? Pero en Venezuela, que, ay, no, él es el que recoge la basura, es el que limpia los baños. Como que, ¿entiendes? Pero es un trabajo. No estás robando, no estás haciendo nada malo, estás trabajando. Entonces, tratar a esa gente de la misma manera, con el mismo respeto, es algo que aprendí desde pequeño y que cada trabajo era honrado. Mi papá, tú nunca lo has dicho, mi papá en público ni nada, no sé si se vaya a molestar ni nada, pero él tuvo que trabajar en un gas station para poder mantener, porque con la inflación que había todo de lo de la casa, no le llegaba el dinero para poder mantenernos a todos y todo lo que queríamos hacer. Un hombre que nunca había trabajado en otro trabajo distinto, porque I came out of Venezuela 16 years old to play baseball as a catcher. Después he got injured, became a coach. So baseball was, is his life. Todo lo que sabía era béisbol. Estoy aquí, estaba aprendiendo algo nuevo en un gas station porque dice, mira, I need to take care of my family. Entonces es algo que me impresionó mucho. It doesn't matter the circumstances. Tú tienes que echarle pichón.
No matter what it is, work is work. You make an honest living, honest pay. You're not stealing, you're not robbing. And the important thing you hear, your dad, he humbled himself. It wasn't beneath him. When push comes to shove, we put our families always first. And we do whatever it takes to make sure our families are safe and that they have what they need. You know, we have food on the table. And I commend your dad. That Lum Palante shout out, man, right now, because Luis Dorante Sr., God bless you, hermano. Un abrazo aquí, virtual. And not only that, but I know he's going to listen to this episode and be proud. Tell us a little bit about what led you to this opportunity you have now.
Yeah. My first shot in something was more of a staff 2012, con Trenton Thunders, que fue como cuando empezamos, like, pick it up. 2008, 2012, it was like the difficult ones, the difficult years. Estábamos como un poquito stuck y después mi papá le consiguió un trabajo con los Yankees. So it was like, wow, okay, let's do this. Boom. Entonces nos empezamos a recuperar. Él estaba coaching en Trenton Thunders, AA, y me dio un chance ahí también. Habló con alguien del equipo y yo como que, oye, que hay un internship aquí. Y apliqué. Normalmente él preguntó y me dijo, bueno, aplica. Y yo apliqué. O sea, nada de que está haciendo nada al otro mundo. Apliqué. He gave me the shot. Yo me voy contigo. My dad was my roommate during this internship. It was kind of fun going to the field together. Everything started clicking porque empecé a hacer de todo. Mi mamá me enseñó de que you just got to do things right. Do the things right. If nobody's going to help you, well, do it yourself. What the heck, no? Pero lo que tengas aquí, el plan que tengas, just execute it. That's the most important part. Eso fue un internship 2012 con los Yankees. I translated for interviews and cleaning the chairs of the stadium, selling tickets, field entertainment, scanning tickets, a little security, a little bit of everything. It was great. I was a mascot one time too. I was Boomer for in a school. Pero bueno, they didn't offer me a full-time job. So, okay, went back to Weston. Y continué sacando lo que es el bachelor's degree. But then I applied to the Marlins in 2013 and I started in guest services. I applied for like an internship y me dijeron como que, mijo, no, nada de internship usted aquí con los Marlins. Y yo dije, bueno, I need to get in some way here. So at the time, my dad knew Manny Colón, era en ese momento el travel director of the team. Y le preguntó, mira, Manny, what's the best way? Y le dice, bueno, que se meta en cualquier cosa, que se meta en guest service. Y yo, bueno, apliqué a guest services y eso era scanning tickets, doing the elevators, escalators, all of that. I did that for a couple of years, then became a supervisor of guest services. I was a supervisor for another 3 years. And during those 3 years, I was constantly applying to other teams just to give me a shot. I just want to be an intern. I'm not asking for anything else. Internship. Y los Marlins me decían que no, Detroit, Houston, un montón de equipos me decían, los Piratas también me dijeron que no. Y eso que, like, with the Pirates, I know Neil Huntington, que era en ese momento el GM. Y yo como, conozco gente, pero no consigo ni un chance. So I was getting very frustrated, very frustrated. Y nada, bueno, 2017, the Marlins, they decided to sell the team. This new ownership bought the team with a lot of Yankee influence. ¿Entiende? Y bueno, 2017 was the third time I applied. Y me dijeron que no. Esa vez de nuevo, yo lloré de la frustración de qué está pasando aquí, ¿me entiendes? I thought this was going to be something easier. Todo el mundo me repetía, oh, tu papá es un man y no sé cosa. Oh, qué fácil, va a ser fácil. Y entonces, al final no era tan fácil. Because they were not hiring my dad. They were hiring this guy. Like, I don't know you. I don't know what you do, what you can do for my organization. I don't know. Entonces era cuestión de que no he demostrado nada. So 2018 empieza ese año y aplico y me dan el chance porque Jeff DeGrom era nuevo de los con los Yankees, entra con Gary Denbo. Jeff DeGrom jugó con los Yankees también. Y cuando ve el nombre, entre los references que yo pongo el manager de ese año, el 2012, Tony Franklin, como reference. Y Tony Franklin fue manager de Jeff. Entonces él llama a Tony como que le dice, oye, este muchacho, no, qué bien aquí, que trabajó, que lo cuestionó, le dijo, que hice un buen trabajo allá. Y eso me dio chance. So 2012 gave me a job in 2018. Algo que yo dije, wow, don't take for granted. But you do sometimes, it might pay for it. Like, you don't know. Just do your job. And then a lo mejor más adelante se da. Y yeah, they gave me a shot. It was player development internship in Jupiter. Y eso fue, me fui con todo, hacer de todo, manejar la van, translating and helping with bill money, helping hotel arrangements and flights and stuff around, anything I had to do with management on the minor league side. Boom, le gusté mucho a front office. They offered me two jobs, to stay in player development, which it was something I was pursuing for 4 years in a row, constantly, like, so. Tener esa opción de trabajo fue maravilloso. Estas lágrimas fueron distintas. O sea, la emoción, ese día no sé cómo describirla. Es una vaina de logro, de uno saber como que, wow, ¡cónchale! Aquí está la cuestión saliendo bien. Y también me ofrecieron uno en Miami. It was a translator and player relation, media liaison, que es lo que soy ahorita. Y yo le pregunté a mi papá me dijo, hey, grandes ligas, grandes ligas. So I ended up just picking the second choice. I went to Miami. Since 2019, I've been doing this job, which has been really crazy because we've been having really crazy seasons. 2019 was the only normal one. 2020 fue una locura de temporada. I got to umpire and everything behind some scrimmage games that we had between other teams. I struck out Alex Bregman one time.
It's out of love, Alex, pero you know what? Hey.
Yeah, that was fun just being on the field with major league players. It was fun seeing all the pitches and knowing you did a good job because they had the trackman. And then I was calling pitches and it was telling me, okay, yeah, that's a strike. I'm like, okay, so I did okay. I didn't miss the pitch. So I did very well. ¿Qué pensaría mi abuelo, no? Mi amigo, este es Luis Dorante Jr. Está escuchando, listening, Siempre Pa'lante podcast. Siempre Pa'lante, vamos caminando forward. Gracias por escuchar.
So, legacy. What does legacy mean to Luis Dorante Jr.?
No, legacy. Legacy is what will move on. What you give to the next generation. I don't have kids. I'm in that age that you start thinking of, ¿entiendes? No sé si te pasó a ti, early 30s, que uno empieza a sacar cuenta de que uno dice, oye, me faltan no sé cuántos años para los 40. Tú dices, wow, 40 años. No sé cómo te sientes tú, Giraldo.
Pero para mí yo fui más tarde. It was 42. So I really waited. Because I got married at 38. Yo esperé suficiente, pero estaba listo. I think it's when you're ready. And if you don't rush, things happen for reasons. At 38, I was ready. Pasó un tiempecito. Because she wasn't ready, you know? She's a little younger than me, por 6 años. I know exactly what you're talking about right now.
you know it very well. Mi esposa también es menor que yo, 5 años. I got like family, por ejemplo, mi papá está loco por un nieto. El nieto. Todo el mundo con el nieto. Hasta mi suegro también el otro día, oye, un nieto. Y yo como que, wow, tengo los dos lados pidiendo por nieto. Yo sé que mi mamá también, pero ella es más callada, se guarda ese comentario. Pero sí, estamos en esa etapa. Yo creo que eso, ya cuando ellos estén acá, los niños, yo tengo esa perspectiva de que sí, como estábamos hablando anteriormente, de que uno cambia, porque ya eres tú quien va a dejar el legado. O sea, aquí ya te dejaron ese legado. Y es bonito verlo, ¿no? Cuando viene de los abuelos, yo tuve la oportunidad de verlo, de después ver mi papá haciendo ese trabajo, y yo creo que, bueno, si Dios quiere, esté haciendo eso por muchos años conmigo, y, o sea, ya uno preparándose, porque uno como persona se va moldeando. You keep shaping as a person and learning so much. Todavía falta, si Dios nos lo permite, and then just move on con ese legacy, pasarlo, just pass it on. How to do things right. I want to like my kids to know that. How to not feel shame of the job you do. You got to keep working, do everything you want to do to pursue that dream and have that great energy. A veces también eso no está fácil porque it's more of a personality thing and every person has a different personality. But I guess kids sometimes, you just want to create a better version of you. That's the whole way it works. It'd be amazing because you're kind of cloning yourself. You see that person out there. Hey, mira, es un clon que hice con mi esposa. Aquí está. You want to create a better version of you through that person. And I think that's the whole ethic there of parenting, that you don't want to do too much as an individual himself, but you really want to make sure that person is the best version that it could be.
Gracias, Luis, for sharing your story. Your patience and perseverance have paid off. This is only the beginning for great things to come. Adelante para siempre, hermano. Te deseo lo mejor y más. Mi gente, take it a step further supporting the show. Rate, review, follow, like, subscribe, and share. It goes a long way. Remember, you can find the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Check the show notes to learn more about Luis Durante Jr. A Palante shout-out goes to my editor, Santiago, guests, familia, and listeners. Gracias for your support. Tune in and tell a friend. Hasta la próxima. Palante.